It's your girl, Jess B.
And it's your girl, Vina Nung.
And you are now locked in with us, the Anti-Socialites.
So turn up the volume and just chill out.
Because each and every week,
we're coming with that real talk.
Conversations with Miami's business owners, artists, behind-the-scenes nightclub professionals.
As well as social activists, community leaders, and aspiring artists.
Real talk from two cool chicks curating Miami's cultures, arts, and lifestyles.
Miami, baby, baby, yeah.
What's up, what's up? You are tuned into the Anti-Socialites podcast. It's your girl, Jess B.
And it's your girl, Vina Nye.
And today we are sitting down with 12 Lynn. Yes. What's up?
What's going on? What's
girl,
going on?
City representative.
Yeah.
Soul rockstar, soul child.
I don't know. It's a little bit of everything. Yeah.
I remember when I first saw you on a friend of mine's Instagram page.
Yeah.
And I was very intrigued by the artwork. Mm-hmm. And I took a listen and I was pleasantly surprised. I like what I heard because sometimes you listen and you don't know what you get.
Potential in which the artwork. You just don't know what you're gonna get. Yeah. Understand.
It was a collective of different vibes, different things. So can you talk about your project, Friends?
Yeah, the project, it pretty much began when I was just in a place mentally of feeling like I needed to produce something that was going to get me out of the mentality in which I was in emotionally. I wasn't in like a really good place. So I just wanted to create a project that can put me in a better place so that I felt that music was missing at the moment, I guess, of wanting to have something that was bright and vibrant. So I created something around those likes of things, and that's how, I guess, sonically the music emerged.
Okay. Well, listening to this project, I can definitely tell a difference from when I first heard you. I know Vina mentioned seeing you on Instagram. Her friend put you on. I've been seeing you perform on the scene for a minute. You've been at The Void. Yeah. You've been doing tracks with, back with Prez and Fway and all them. Your sound has definitely evolved.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as far as that process went, has that gone because of the place that you're in your life, or you just felt like I'm gonna evolve regardless?
I just think that the process, it just happens naturally. It happens on its own. I don't think... I take it back. So, yeah, I feel like, it evolved naturally, but it also plays plays a sense of where I am physically and mentally at the place, which is for any artist. And you just can't really control it. The only thing you can do is just allow yourself to evolve, because you never really want to, be so contemporary and so anti.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't be so anti, because then you stud your growth. You have to welcome in new sounds and vibrations to be able to, evolve yourself. So that's how it is with me. I'm not really against any type of music. I know I like what I like, and I like to keep things contemporary, but to be able to evolve, you have to also adapt, and you have to also allow yourself to explore and exploit different things.
Yeah, that makes total sense, because even your live set has evolved. Mm-hmm. You used to perform with a band.
Yeah, I had to get out of performing live, because it kind of slow you down when you're at a beginning place in your career, because it kind of stop you from being able to get certain gigs because they're not able to supply the backline or supply the financial stability or whatever it takes to get you in those five pieces the way you need to go.
Yeah.
So I kind of had to take that away from step back from that and take that out of the equation for a while. Eventually I can see myself going back to, playing live, but not right now. Like, I like it better as it is, because it's more fun and free and
more mobile.
And very, very much so more mobile.
The irony in that is that you said you evolved, but most, it's like your music, it has a sad, the storyline is sad, but the music itself is vibrant and happy. How do you manage to make those things mesh well and
mesh?
Come and create such a beautiful sound?
Because mentally, that's where I was at. Mentally, that's what was going on around us, the police brutality at that moment, Well, not even at the moment. It still happens, but you know, it was just more so being publicized to antagonize us, you know, to make us act out. So I guess just like things like that, things far as relationships with friends and stuff like that is why it was so easy to write those songs. And just my music background of wanting to create things that was relatively close to like Frankie Beverly and Maze and like Al Green and stuff, it was easy sonically to create those songs, to make them feel and sound how I wanted it to make me feel, even though lyrically it was still conveying a message in which I felt people, you know, who was able to receive and be receptive to it was actually able to grasp, you know. And also come across to people who weren't really listening to it for the lyrics, but listening to it for the vibes. They were still able to embody the vibes. So
it's pretty smart, you know, yeah. Especially since we live in an age where, you know, there's a lot of mumble rap or people not really saying anything positive, yeah, or having a message at all. It's just more so about the vibe. You've been able to, you know, do both. I know you like Lil Yachty, which people label, yeah, him like the mobile or the mumble rap king.
The mumble rap,
but what's your reasoning behind,
I mean,
his style? Because it makes you feel good.
It's fun. It's just fun. It's nothing to try to. Hold on, I'm going to hold on. So yeah, you can cut that out.
Let them know. We in the city right now. We in Girl City. You know, we out here.
So, like,
just vibing.
With that, you know, with Lil Yachty, it's just because it's fun. It's nothing really to try to, like, decode. It's just right there for you. You know, like, it's right there in your face. And it's cool, but it's at the same time, when you have, once it becomes a trend and then you have a million people doing it, it kind of, like, it make you not like it. Not like Lil Yachty's music in particular, but the clones just, they make you like, you're like, okay, I think I need to step back, you know. But at the same time, I like what he stands for, you know, wanting you to, like, just be yourself. Like, even when it comes to, like, his album cover right now, like, you know, he has, like, the obese girl on the cover. He has the homosexuals in the up left corner. Then you have, like, the albino kid. You have the emo kid. All of that stuff. It's really dope, especially when, you know, you're young and you finding yourself and you're like, you know, you're in high school or you're even younger than that. So I mean, like, just, you know, just for what he stands for, mentally is just pretty dope, you know, being that outcast and things like that, because I feel the same way when it comes to this music, you know, me creating the music that I make in the midst of me being affiliated with hardcore rappers, you know, like, those are my good friends. Mm-hmm. So I feel that same way, and I don't try to change it at all, because, I mean, it's nothing for me to change. I don't have to change it because it's who I am. It's the type of music I like to create, and I'm able to cross genres whenever I please and feel, because it's still who I am.
Yeah, I think with the four singles that you chose to do videos for, you did, yeah, Stardust, Elevator, All Week Long, and My Baby.
Yeah.
If anybody were to watch those videos, I think they could get a better grasp that you are an individual.
Yeah.
Because each one is so different, but you still rep Miami so, yeah, tough in those videos. Like, it's, yeah, really refreshing.
Yeah, it's dope. People need to be able to create and feel like they're able to create whatever they want to create. Like, my parents grew up in Overtown and Mariana and here in Kansas City, so, I mean, the environment hasn't changed so much. It's always been the same thing. And even in the midst of all of those hardships and growing up in poverty, in a sense, you still they still find their way to listen to black artists that still convey positive music, you know, which is, like I said again, like Frankie Beverly and Maze. There's not one hood party you can go to and they play Before I Let You Go and everybody's right, going to sing it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't change who the, you know, the environment, who the person, but we should still be able to feel comfortable enough to be able to, you know, broadcast those, you know, type of that type of music, you know,
yeah,
and not feeling as if you got to talk about the dope and this and that and it, you know. So that's why it's okay, and it's not that different. It's always been around. Just people just been moving too tough, feeling like they have to be tough.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. Like, I think stereotypical rap and even R&B has gotten so, like, one direction that people don't feel like they can truly, like,
yeah,
tell you. Like you said, I can listen to Frankie Beverly and still,
yeah,
be tough, but
you still,
it's just,
roll my blunt.
Yeah, still vibe.
So, I think more so right now with, like, social media is more of an image. So everybody,
yeah,
it's what it looks like rather than who the person really is. And, like, a Lil Yachty, he still looks like everybody else,
yeah,
but
is the music.
What he's saying is actually, like, uplifting when you think about it.
It's what he's saying, how he's saying it, and even how he's coming off. So, I mean, like, it's just dope. It's just really dope. Same thing with Denzel Curry, you know. His message is still, you know, what's going on in the neighborhoods and this, that. You know, it's still, like, we all do it. At least, like I said, at least everybody that I'm actually into and affiliated with is on the right path when it comes to projection. Like, there's nothing that I really rock with that's too ignorant.
I like that.
What is the symbolism of the sunflower?
The sunflower comes from one of the West African goddess, which is Oshun. Oshun is the goddess of love. She comes and she appears as like a sunflower, a mermaid, just different things, you know. She just represents love. Her favorite color is like yellow, and she likes the sweet things. So like when you're going through those different ceremonies, you have to have like yellow candles, you know, a lot of gold jewelry and different things like that. Like it's all the same, like Santeria, voodooism, all of that stuff is all the same thing. West African religion, you know.
Okay.
The Nigerian people, the Haitian people, you know, all of that stuff. So
what's your background?
No, I'm Haitian.
Haitian?
Yeah.
And along with the sunflower, like talk about your name, because that has a representation as well.
12 and when I was younger, I grew up in Kansas City. It was a label coming up at the time, which was Po' Boy Entertainment, also a joint venture from like Atlantic. And when I was young, like 9 years old, and I first started doing music, I used to always be like in the studio with them, because like the studio was across the street, like one block behind my house. So I used to like just walk to the studio and just like vibe at the two-story building. That's what we called it. And just like they called me V12 all the time, like yo, V12, because I was always state, because they said I was fast for my age. Mm-hmm. Like I was more advanced, so they called me V12. V12 is like the highest performance engine you can put in a car. So like, they called me like V12.
I'm thinking like, what? Yeah. I got a V6.
Yeah, so they called me V12, and as I grew older and I started like discovering like different types of sounds and stuff, you know, like being around my grandfather, listening to like records that he played on the way to dropping me to school, like a lot of jazz and blues. He spent a lot of time in the Army. He was in the Vietnam War. So, like, a lot of, like, jazz and blues kind of, like, lingered around him just as well. So, playing, like, those type of tunes inspired me to want to actually get involved with live instrumentation and live composition. And, I mean, just the name V12, I felt like I was outgrowing it, and I felt like it was something that would be typical, and when you look me up, you would not find me, so I just took away the V, and I just added L-E-N, which is my grandfather, which is Lynn, and then also, like, the number 12, it was always, like, one of my favorite numbers, you know, like, Jesus had 12 disciples, it's 12 months in a year, 12 is the number of law and perfection, like, 12 just, the number 12 shows up a lot, you know, it shows up a lot, even biblically, it shows up a lot. So I just kept that, and like I said, added the L-E-N, Lynn, and that's how you got the name 12 Lynn. You got the sunflower with the 12 petals, which is like, you know, the tattoo on my back. Like, it's really, it's all over my body.
And on your apparel now that you're selling all that.
Yeah, it's on everything. So, and I want that sunflower to not be a logo. I want it to become a symbol in the future of like, all of the things, like, just combined as one, like, peace, love, loyalty, light. Each petal represents one of those 12 things, you know. And I want that to be, like, the modern-day peace sign, you know, in the next 10 years, you know. Yeah. Where it's not attached to me, it's just something that you see on, like, billboards and, you know, with different color palettes. And people just, they see it and they know what it means, just like how you see the peace sign.
That's kind of cool.
That is. And I think that could definitely happen, because if you embody that, then people are going to be drawn to it anyway.
Yeah.
Earlier you mentioned Denzel Curry, and we watched him grow up in the scene and kind of like branch out and cross, you know, Florida boundaries. How did y'all meet and like get together musically?
One of my homies, Kenny and Forbes, introduced me to a location called Bel Air Academy, and Bel Air Academy was like a storefront owned by a guy named Kid Pop Mufasa, and that was his storefront. And he used to have like, you know, he just like let all of us, like Rob Banks and everybody, he just let us come through and like host our mixtapes there, let us like premiere videos there, just go in there and just like hang out and vibe on the weekends, freestyles, and you know, all of us, that's how all of us met, like me, Puya, Denzel, Nell, just everybody. Everybody who got it going or who got something going on, we all met that perp, everybody. Mm-hmm. That whole first wave of things in the 20th century when it came to, like, the underground scene of music. And that's how, like, me and Denzel ended up meeting. And just, like, from there, like, me and him just was always, like, cool. Like, we just always been, like, cool. He always hit me up, asked me questions. Because he looked at me as, like, his big brother. Like, I'm a couple years older than him. So he always, like, he always, like, looked at me, you know, and asked me questions. And, yeah, man, what you think about this, though, bro? And you feel me? I'd be like, yeah, man, you know, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do this, man. You know, like, he was still young. You know, he was at the art school for a while. Then he transferred over to Kansas City after I graduated. And yeah, that's just the relationship with me and him.
Yeah, but I'm sure you're proud of, like, you mentioned Nell. I interviewed Nell when I had the function. Like, really? Nell has fans in California, checking for him. But
all you guys have reached.
Something we've all seen them grow, like, mm-hmm. from where they started from to, like, where they are now. Yeah. And I know, aside from Denzel Curry, do you have a relationship with Black? I know he was on tour with him.
Yeah,
y'all have the Black. Same vibe. Like, y'all in your own lane.
Now, me and Black, we worked together for, like, 2-3 years. Like, he was signed over at Strong Arm with Florida.
Yeah, they didn't know what to do with him.
Yeah, they didn't know what to do with him. And, like, and me and Black was always, like, working together. Like, even when he first went there, like, I was the one giving him the tea, like, yo, man, you need to be doing this and that and this. Like, bro, like, and you feel me? Like, finally he figured out, and now he got his thing going on. Like, we created, we had one EP we released, and we had took it down probably like a year ago, but we left one record up, which is Pretty Well, that we actually have a video to that. And, yeah, like, we still be, like, we talk every now and again.
Yeah, that it's crazy because, like, you've got, all of you guys have mastered, even if you were signed before or you've been working for a while, you've all mastered your own lane of things. Like, Problems is getting played on the radio. I remember listening to it for months, like, on Apple Music, and I'm like, I was calling him the wrong name and everything. Yeah. But, you know, like, I just like the song. I just like the music. I didn't even know what he looked like.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. Y'all music doesn't need a face to it. You know, sometimes you just want to listen to the vibe and it connects. That's a little accomplishment, you know. That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
Me and Fee over here like, aha.
Well, no, it was funny because I seen the Fader did an article on you, and they really kind of like, not really, but they linked you to Frank Ocean. Yeah. They were like, since y'all waiting on Frank Ocean, listen to 12 Lin.
Yeah.
Did you find anybody, like, discover your music from that?
Yeah. See, the bloggers are cool. They're really good for, like, that co-sign for the big labels to be like, okay, yeah, we should check it out. Mm-hmm. Regardless if you have a million fans already, like, a lot of times the labels, they don't really check until the tastemakers say check.
Yeah.
And, which is cool. And, I mean, yeah, I got some fans from it, but I got a lot of industry attention from it.
That's good.
You know, and that's really what the labels are good for. Like, they're not really there to grow your fan base unless they're sending out, like, major email blasts. If they're not doing that, you're going to be on there today and you're not. It really don't matter anymore. Like, I've been on Fader, Pigeons, all that stuff. It's on a regular. Whenever I drop something, it's going to go up. Right. It's going to go up. But, like, it's really no gross unless you're being physical. Mm. There's no real gross unless you're either on a tour, doing pop-ups, or doing just physical marketing. It has to be a balance. Internet don't blow you up unless you have a bunch of, like, you have a lot of money.
Preach!
Yeah. Like, you gotta have...
I need
you
to say that again.
You gotta have... with the internet, you gotta have a bag of money in the sense of, like, you know, like, a label. Like, Black, you know, he signs there with, like, Interscope. And they drop the bag on it. You know what I mean? So, like, you gotta either have that bag or you have to do it the right way, like the old school way, the organic way, on the streets, foot moving, you know what I mean?
I like that.
Just being clever, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to have a lot of money to do that type of stuff. You can do something as simple as going to Simon's and be like, yo, look, I want to do an installation in here. I just want to set up my cutout right here and this and that. So when people come in, it's not that they're gonna look at your post and be like, okay, let me look them up. No, they seen it. That's all that matters. Now when they see it again, they have to check. They will check.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's physical things like that I've, like, I kind of learned from, like, watching, like, Red Bull do, like, big major marketing in the inner city. And I was like, yo, what if I did that for, like, the little guy? Like, how can the little guy with no money do that? You know what I mean? So you have to be clever. It's not about money. It's about being clever. You know?
That's true. I like that.
It's just, you gotta be physical. Your growth's not gonna come unless you're physical. It's gonna come, but it's gonna peak. And then you have to figure out that balance of, how would I get physical? Am I gonna get on a tour? Am I going to, you know, how I'm going to market, how I'm going to physically market to for the regular everyday public shopper to know who I am, who's not on the internet.
And that's funny that you bring that up. Not funny, but you know what I mean. Yesterday I was watching, because you know we just talked about Yachty. Did you watch the Joe Budden, the Complex conversation?
Nah, I didn't see it.
It is so controversial. Y'all gotta watch it.
But him and the DJ and the girl. Yeah. I watch it, but I haven't. Is the recent one that dropped?
It just dropped yesterday. But they brought up Wale, because Wale's album just dropped. But there's there has to be a disconnection between him and his fans, because his sales are not making sense.
Yeah, it's not.
And the physical marketing is not there.
Yeah, it's not.
No, the marketing for this album, but then he moved it up and he just dropped it out of nowhere.
Yeah,
you know?
I didn't even know he dropped the album. See,
I still ain't listened to it yet.
So it's like, and I'm pretty sure it's really good too, because I know a couple of the producers that produce like for him, like the guys who produce like Pretty Young Thing and stuff. Like I know that they worked on a couple songs on this new project that I have. So it's like, even like with that physical marketing, like how like it just don't make no sense, like how you said it doesn't make any sense. And I feel like a lot of like those artists that are a lot of like the older artists, like they feel like they got to play catch up with the game, so they think that they only have to go internet because they see all these young kids popping off the internet. And I feel like they neglected their old ways, which were
working.
Was being visible.
But they feel like, because you know, you got all of these new, they're gonna get washed out, so they gotta do what they doing. Yeah. No, you don't. Do what you've been doing, just find a balance to do exactly what they're doing just as well. And a lot of these new artists, they only popping off because they're doing outrageous things. Like, they don't have morals when they do things, so it's gonna go viral. It's easy to go viral when you don't have morals. You know what I mean? You're gonna let your nuts drag on the floor. Like, you're gonna do that. I would never do that, so it's gonna take me a lot of time.
Right.
Because I have more, I can't do that.
But you,
like, you know?
You seem to have that patience. And
you seem to know
what's for you is for you.
Yeah,
and
so,
when it comes to, you said the guerrilla marketing or just being in foot and being in people's face. Here in Miami, there's like, I don't know, I feel like it's harder for artists to perform shows or to be as visible because there's not a, you never know what kind of crowd you're going to get.
I don't think it's hard at all. Like, I think it's really easy because, like, basically, when you marketing, right? When you go to school for business, right? And you're going to school for, like, marketing or whatever, the first thing they teach you is
the four P's.
Exactly. So, who are you going to target?
Yeah,
exactly.
Your target market.
Who is your target market? That's the first thing. Who are you? What is your brand? Who is it? All right, who is your target market? Now go and find those people. And then exploit it. Explore and exploit it. So, there's a bunch of communities. So, if you running rants through like all of the strip clubs, that's your thing. All right, we gonna hit them all up. Then this is how we gonna do it. You just have to have a plan, you know. I don't think it's really hard because but venue wise, there's a lot of venues. Like, you know,
to
put on your own shows. Like I said, be clever.
So go to Simon's.
You feel me? Go to Simon's.
go
partner with a bar, partner up with a car shop. You know what I mean? You have to be clever. Even though a lot of these venues got shut down because they're doing all of that stuff through overtime, so they got rid of a lot of the things downtown Miami, you can still partner up with the local guy, with the local business. Figure out how can you wash each other's hands.
Yeah.
You feel me? Like, be clever. It's just be clever. Like, you know? And it don't cost a lot of money to put on great sound. Like, and that's the thing. I go to a lot of shows and the sound system be shitty. And I be like, how can y'all be mad at these different tastemakers that's doing it in the city, and you feel like they're not doing it for the culture and whatever, but they actually buying in because they actually putting on quality events.
Right.
So, and you getting mad at them because the bag is getting dropped on them because they're doing it right. Put your money up.
Yeah.
You feel me? You can't sell out unless you buy in. You feel me? Like, so it don't make sense. Like, when people get upset, you know, with these different tastemakers that Miami have that they feel that don't come from the culture, it don't matter.
Mm.
You feel me? So, in order to sell out, you have to buy in first.
Well, yeah, you gotta put money up.
So, like, even like when it comes to these shows, it only costs $300 to have amazing sound. You can go to Guitar Center and get 4 15-inch monitors and 2 subs, and you will have the whole entire block smashed out. Amazing sound. And people, I know because I did it.
And people don't think to reach out to these DJs. DJ Top Feeling providing sound for everybody for under $500. And so, he will ride up on you and deliver it.
And that's the thing. Like, just people just don't know. Like, for 2012, 13, I was doing shows, pop-up shows, and three, 400 people would come out, and I'd pull up on the back of my dad's tow truck, and we'd set up the sound system around his tow truck, and we'd perform in the middle of when we went to the police, gonna shut it down.
Yeah.
Like, and we did that on the back of a tow truck, you know what I mean? So it's just like, it's possible to do it with
you just gotta get creative.
You gotta get creative, be clever.
Or you gotta want it, because not a lot of people want to do that. Yeah. No, we know you do, but there's artists that feel like, because some certain venues are gone, that they want to make that excuse that they're not gonna go, you know, have their friend pull up the back of the truck and perform outside. They want a venue to perform in. They want a show to open up
with. Entitlement.
Yeah, the entitlement is running rampant.
It's not for them then, so that's all. It ain't even a conversation because it's not for them. I don't even want to inspire them.
Right.
You know what? Stop inspiring people that don't want to be inspired. Mm-hmm. Or once they hear the message, they don't do anything about it.
Yeah, that's the thing. They don't do nothing about it. Because I say this type of stuff all day to all of my homies and friends. And I be like, you ain't going to do it anyways. And I tell them that just to try to get them to do it.
Yeah.
Like, bro, it don't even matter because you ain't finna do none of the shit I said.
Right.
So it don't matter.
Damn. You know? That's crazy.
And they still don't, so.
So who are some artists that you would love to work with in the future?
Hit you. Wasn't ready.
I don't even know. Like, people ask that. I really can't say. I'm just so, like, wrapped into myself and to where it's like I'm just so focused on, like, just trying to evolve, but I guess you evolve when working with other people just as well. So I mean, like, I would probably want to work with like Thundercat, probably work with like I don't know, man. Anderson .Paak.
Oh, yeah, he's so dope. Yeah. His vibe is good.
Sampha, Blood Orange. As far as like on like the rap side of things, I don't know. I really like California rappers. Just like
their vibes are.
They just got,
you know. Us
oh
God, West
here
Coast.
She goes.
I'm from California, so
she's gonna take that, and I'm gonna let her because I, in my mind, I was born in Cali and I went to Crenshaw High. But okay, so soul and rock. What were your soul influences and what were your rock influences?
Rock influence probably would have to be like Jimmy and. You know, like even like Blood Orange, like Modern Day King Cruel, like I like a lot of that, like newer rock idols, and soul, you know, like Marvin Gaye, you know, Al Green, Frankie Beverly Mays to bring it up, just some Prince rock as well. Prince is soul and rock.
Yeah, little Mick. He has his own style. He's the artist, you know.
Yeah. So that's a lot of my inspiration.
So, I mean, if this is what you had to be listening to this, you know, throughout your childhood and adulthood, and you're from Carroll City, like, did anybody take your iPad or your iPod and just listen? Like, dog, what did you listen to?
I mean, if you was to take my iPad growing up, like, through, like, high school and middle school, like, you wouldn't, I'd probably say, like, that music I was hearing a lot when I was in, like, elementary, and even after I graduated, I got back into it. But, like, middle school, high school, I was on, like, fucking Miami shit. I was not even really joking too tough. I was really on like Pretty Ricky, Jamie Foxx, Goody Mob raised me, like Outkast, not really Outkast, but Goody Mob raised me, like CeeLo Green raised me, like
he has a
and he got that soul vibe, like CeeLo Green is soul, Gnarls Barkley, that all of that stuff, like really raised me. Pharrell raised me. Yeah, even like Travis Barker, like I really looked at like Travis Barker, like damn man, I wanna make shit like that, like hardcore rock shit, and like dress like that. And then I actually finally got to meet him, and yeah, he's real cool. Like that's a good friend of mine now.
That's crazy.
And like yeah, so I don't know. Like growing up in that middle age thing, I was like really like, you know, heavily inspired by like 50 Cent and all of that. Like that was like my theme.
Mm-hmm.
Like being a bully was like a theme.
Oh, you was a bully?
I wasn't like, not a bully, like bullying people, but like,
you just listen
like,
to the bully music.
I was listening to like the bully music, what I mean? Yeah, I wasn't no bully.
Yeah, I was listening to like Korn and Limp Bizkit for a little bit. Korn.
Limp Bizkit, Kid Rock?
Even though that was the more commercialized rock, but like, I grew up on like U2, Rod Stewart, Kiss, until I discovered hip hop, and then I just fully switched over.
I mean, I'm from the East Coast, so I was definitely listening to State Property and, like,
yeah,
I was so into State Property, Jadakiss.
I was into Jadakiss.
All of that. Like, it was either State Prop or it was D-Block, you know?
Mm.
Which is why I'm probably not that feminine right now.
Did you play any instruments while you were in school?
Nah, I played no instruments in school. I played sports. Like, I played football in my 9th and 10th grade. Yeah, I played varsity over at Miramar High School. And then, like, I got kicked out of Miramar because they found out I ain't live in Miramar. Then I went to Michael Crop for a little bit. And back to Kansas City. So.
That's a common theme with everybody. Artists from Miami. They always went to like five different high schools.
Yeah, that was always like the theme. That's everybody. Always the theme.
I don't think I've met, not even just on the podcast, but I don't think I've met anybody that just went to one high school,
yeah,
in Miami.
I went to Kansas City Elementary all the way through Kansas City Middle, but then I went to Kansas City High and played football for another school and went there and then Crop and. But that's kind of that kind of helped mold who I am. It did help mold who I am. It changed my perspective on like how I should be living. You know, going to Kansas City really had me in like a mentality in which I had to be very defensive and offensive just as well. Going to Miramar, it helped me like kind of discover myself when it came to like how you dress and carry yourself. And then Michael Crop just made me question like how you package things, because just like looking at like the kids there. And, like, seeing, like, the student parking lot, like, shitting on the teacher's parking lot, I was like, why can't I have what they have?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, what is it that cursed my family or where I come from to where we can't even, like, we focus on buying the latest Jordans, you know what I mean? While they wearing fucking Sperry's and a wrinkled-ass V-neck and got an iPad and an iPhone in each hand, like, you know, like, so it's, like, prioritizing and how to, like, you know, deliver certain things. Like, I could be selling the same thing this dope dude selling right here, but... Just because I put mine in a glass bottle and sold it to you in a glass capsule and not in a bag, you bought it because you liked it.
Presentation.
You feel me? And that's when my music evolved. That is the moment my music evolved from full-on rap to R&B and soul and, like, you know, all of that stuff. That is where my transition happened.
Gosh,
was because
wow.
of that.
That's dope.
And Crop is in Aventura, right? Or
yeah,
that area?
Crop is in Aventura. It's a Jewish. It's predominantly, like,
Jewish.
All Jewish
yeah.
and, like, Haitians and black Jews.
Mm.
Black and white Jews and just Haitians. That's really all that school is.
Wow. Speaking of that, you know, being that we're in Miami, India and I, or Vina and I talk.
It's
all right.
You know,
different names.
Back. I got another name.
We like to talk about, like, social issues as well.
Mm.
And recently we have both discovered that the Jewish community in South Florida is very close-knit.
Yeah.
You'll go to Aventura and they'll have their own community centers,
yeah.
their own grocery stores.
But that's all throughout the U.S. Because even when you go to New York.
Well, New York, yeah. But
you know,
here,
yeah.
we see it in front of our
yeah,
face.
Yeah, we see it in front of us.
Like,
yeah.
what do you think the black community needs to do, not only in South Florida, but across, to, like,
the same thing.
Assemble.
But, like, how? What's the first step, though? Because we can
first
say
step,
the same thing, but.
That's a good one. I mean, dang. I just had it. But, I mean, I honestly feel like. I honestly feel like the first thing would be to, like, is really just going back to, like, how we was, even before, like, the whole Martin Luther King thing came about. Us actually owning our own shit. Because we was owning our own shit
mm-hmm.
before that. He came in, yeah, you know, he was all about, you know, like, getting rid of the violence and, you know, just, you know,
equality.
Just equality.
Yeah.
But when that happened, we lost power.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? Like,
so
it's not about staying segregated. It's about being equal, but still having the mentality in which, like, it's ours. You know, this is mine. You know, like, I own this. You could go and shop there. Like, no, you know what I mean? Like, just like different things like that. So it's like building those inner communities and, like, just owning our shit. That's all it's about.
Yeah.
It's really owning it. Like, really owning it in your mind. Not by paper. You feel me? Like, owning it. Because you can own something and you can still feel like, if I don't do this and pay this, they're going to come take. Who is they?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you have to own your stuff. And even with that, you got to first still own yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you still got to go through the motions of becoming, like, a sovereign citizen. But we got to actually want to do these things. You know what I mean? So.
That's good. No, I totally agree, because first, I feel like we need to change our mentality.
Yeah, it's mentality
first. Because I totally agree with you about owning our own thing, but I see with culture appropriation happening, like, say, for instance, you know, the Kardashians, they start wearing box braids, and then all of a sudden, the magazine started attributing that style to them. And
they started it.
As they started it. But then once we start taking stuff back, we get labeled as, oh, y'all want black to be everything or everything to be black. But
it was ours.
Right. So we can't, I feel like we can't let outsiders dictate what we think is right for us.
Yeah, exactly.
Because as a whole, I think black people are very forgiving. Mm-hmm. As a culture, we're very, what's the word? Like, we kind of take anybody in.
Yeah.
But if you go to some another culture,
any culture is not like
Asians
that.
Don't take everybody in. Yeah. That's their shit.
But I think that's because we still want to
be accepted.
We have, that acceptance. You still want to belong to something when we have never fully understood that we are who we are. We come from kings and we come from queens, and no matter where we've been transported or transported to, like, we still have that title. But we've really been beaten down to think that we don't fit a certain stature, or we're not as good as someone, or is, if one of us is doing good, then the other one can't do good. And I think that's what really breaks, is that we don't help each other. We more so, if you're doing better than me, like, I gotta find a way to tear you down, as opposed to saying, okay, I just need advice so that I could get to where you are, and then I could pull up somebody else. But right now, it's just we're competing with each other.
Because you've been in a, it's just because, through the generations or whatever, you've just been in a hole for so long. You know what I mean? So being in that hole for so long, you ain't looking left and right to get help from your brother. You looking for someone else to help you. Like, someone outside of that to help you.
Yep.
You know what I mean? When you always looking for that person outside of that to help you, you're going to get the short end of things because they had to help you.
Yeah.
You know, versus, you know, working with your brother and your sister, or working with the person, whomever they is, whatever color he is, that who's in that hole with you. You know, and when you living like that, you're not going to want to see somebody get out before you. You know what I mean? You're just screaming, waiting for somebody from outside of that hole to reach their hand out and grab you next. You know what I mean? Instead of just being like, look, this is how we going to do it. You going to get on all fours. You going to get on top of him. I'm going to get out, and then we just going to keep. Let's keep doing it like that. Right. And we're going to be dedicated to doing that and knowing that we're going to make sure everybody's out instead of dropping, oh, yeah, fuck y'all. We just going to keep it pushing. You know what I mean? Like, nah. And it's a trusting, you feel me? And you and I don't know. It's just crazy. Like, it's just crazy. Like I said again, like, you would rather go and shop at the Korean market or the white market or the government supply supermarket versus going to the local business in the community. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but it's a mentality thing. So
change the mentality.
Yeah.
Shop black. Help each other.
No, so just change mentality.
Don't get me started, though,
and
for real.
And definitely just really just changing the mentality and understanding. Like, I don't know, man.
But I mean, it's good to have an opinion and to know a little bit, because especially being an artist and knowing that you're about to, you know, get to that, if someone were to ask you, to see that you even have an opinion is refreshing, because sometimes artists forget that you have this platform, and it's good to have some type of knowledge. You don't have to answer every single question, but just have a purpose.
Don't be like the president and not know shit.
So with you got friends out, you got your videos out, any performances coming up that we could be looking for?
Right now, no, I believe. I didn't get the schedule yet for, like, if there is a tour in the fall, but I believe it is. We was working on something with Journeys with the store.
Oh.
And I don't know what's really going on with it right now, but other than that, I know I got, like, 30 days in Chicago in November with Red Bull. But that's just really the only thing. But that's way in November. Other than that, I'm just going to be doing like a bunch of things throughout 2017 summertime, once this new project is released. And like, this new project I'm working on, I have a lot of dope producers on it, like a lot of really dope producers on it. And it's titled Move, and I'm probably going to release it in June.
Coming up.
Yeah.
So there's a listening party. We need to be there.
Yeah, the listening event is on May 13th. It's open to the public. You can RSVP to pretty much get all of the details. You know, just come and have fun. And it's just really just going to be sitting there, like, playing video games and listening to the album. The album is inspired. The album is dedicated to my car. And so, like, you can just, like, pretty much come in and bring, like, your Dickie tops and get your name stitched in on them and, you know, different stuff like that.
That's very cool. Creative.
I like it. That's dope. Yeah. I mean, you talked about being creative.
Yeah.
So not no Rolling Loud? I'm finding a way to get you on that stage.
No, I mean, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. I'm supposed to be coming. I'm definitely coming out on Denzel's set. I know Amigos and Yachty is going to be there, so I may come out on their sets. And then, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Speaking of Yachty, Amigos, you affiliated with Coach K in any
way?
Yeah,
Coach K is actually my manager. Solid Foundation QC management. And, I've been working with him since August of last year.
Dope.
So, yeah, like, it's about to be going on a year and a few months. Me and him been working together. And he's really cool. He knows what to do. He's very, like, he's really smart. He's really clever, too.
Very strategic.
The thing I like a lot about him is that he just lets you do your own thing. And it's really up to you versus him. It's up to you to either drop the ball, walk off, walk away, or whatever. So it's really like you develop the dope, you develop the product, you give it to him, and he'll put it on what blocks or avenues that it need to be on.
Dang.
The proper avenue. So it's really dope that way because he don't put his hands on nothing. Like, he lets you create. Like, he chose you for a reason. You know what I mean? So,
it's definitely you're out of here because if you got that cosign and he was looking for you, then you're doing something right, man.
Also with like Reese just as well, over there with Denzel. Like, I look at like Mark and Reese, ask him a lot of questions. Reese is really dope too at what he does, with Denzel, and just period. He moved really strategic as well.
Okay. All right. Well, we appreciate you sitting down, taking the time.
Yes.
We're definitely gonna keep our eyes and ears peeled back for you on the scene. We're going to continue to support any way we can. But before we end the episode, we just want to know what type of advice... Well, before, your social media, and then I'll ask the question.
Yeah.
Say all your social media handles.
Oh, well, yeah. All of my social media, whatever.
Twitter,
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all of that stuff is just all 12-ing. If you don't know how to spell it, it's TWELVE_LEN. For your social medias, you don't need the apostrophe there. But, TWELVELEN. And you can find me there. So.
All right. So, just a little jewel or anything you want to drop for those that want to be able to follow their dreams but maybe are holding themselves back mentally. Like, what do you got to say to those?
Don't think about the money in the sense of getting yourself out there. Just be very innovative. Be innovative. Recreate things that already exist. Recreate things, make them better. Even if it's not music, if it's a function you can add towards some type of invention or some type of logic of things to make it better, reinvent it. That's really all. Just reinvent, recreate, be creative, and be clever.
Ooh.
And that's it.
Thank you.
Okay, well, each and every week, you already know we are dropping the coolest episodes in the city. It's your girl, Just B.
And it's your girl, Vina Nine.
We out.
That's cool.